Okay, if you take your Bibles, anybody need a Bible tonight? If you have any first-time visitors, or that's it. Okay. If you take your Bibles, open up to Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4, down in verse 23. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, it says, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." And I just want to do a simple study tonight just on the heart. And it's been, this subject's actually been on my heart, just looking at different things about the heart. And the heart is mentioned in the Bible in 765 verses. And the actual word is found 833 times. So we're not even going to give it justice tonight by trying to go through every single verse, and I definitely won't torture you into having you, you know, do a word study on the word heart. So we may not just hit every single aspect of it, but it's just a blessing what God says about the heart. And in this verse, He tells us that we have to keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Now, we'll get into the physical part later, the physical heart. And it's a blessing if you study kind of the physical heart and match it up with what God's talking about. There's some similarities, which we'll look into a little bit later. But right now, our heart is who we are, right? It's the root of our being, our core, the center of our total personality. It even goes far beyond what our soul is or our mind. Because even God says, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart first, then thy soul, strength, and mind." So our heart goes beyond. It's who we are. It's like the root of our being. And He says to keep thy heart with all diligence. It means to keep thy heart, it means to guard. It means to protect, it means to watch over. That's what it means to keep. Like a keeper of a prison. You know, a keeper of a prison makes sure that none of the prisoners, no one inside is able to get out, right? I mean, the same thing with our heart. It says in the book of Matthew, it says that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. We can tell a lot of what's in our heart by the things that come out of our mouth. And that's one reason why we need to guard it, because sometimes the things in our heart can come out of our mouth when we really don't want them to. But also, a keeper of a prison, not only does he try to keep someone from getting out, but he also wants to keep anything that's wrong from getting in. Jeremiah said in the book of Lamentations, he says, "Mine eye hath affecteth my heart. Mine eye affecteth mine heart." The things that we allow to go into our eyes affects our heart. The things we allow to see, the things we allow to come in, they affect our heart. And that's why we need to guard it, we need to keep it, okay? And we need to watch over our hearts. Because they're so easily we let the things of this world, and me too, let the things of this world get inside, and it affects our heart. And we have to guard the things that come out of our heart, because the heart isn't something that can be trusted. Our heart can't just be left alone to itself. There's no way we can leave it alone to itself. That's why it says, "Keep thy heart with all diligence." Diligence has to do with consistency. It has to do with, work. In other words, it's hard work to try to keep your heart with all diligence. You know, it's hard to keep your heart. It's hard to guard it. It's a difficult thing. I mean, it's so easy to get conformed to this world that to watch over our hearts, but it's a 24/7 thing. Just like the keeper at the prison, it's just not a 9-to-5 job, and then they, let the prisoners stay in there, everyone goes home, and then there's no more guards. No, it's a 24/7 cycle. You know, and it's the same with our heart. Is that it's something that has to be kept, it's something that has to be guarded, and it's something that has to be watched. Can't be left to itself. And the reason why, in verse 23, is because for out of it are the issues of life. Out of the heart are the issues of life. That's the reason why it needs to be guarded. An issue is something that's sent out or put forth. When I looked at the word issue too, one of the synonyms, right, the word that means the same, was the word publish. And I don't know if you remember Sunday, Pastor was speaking about the word publish. It's a real blessing, and it means to make known and to spread, right? To make known and to spread. What your life publishes comes from your heart. See? What you do in life and what your life publishes and spreads out, and it's everywhere around you, that comes from your heart. That's why, even more importantly, we need to guard it, we need to keep it, we need to watch it. Okay? And I want to go back at the first mention of heart in Genesis chapter 6 and look at what it says. It gives us a lot of details about what the heart's like. Genesis chapter 6. There's definitely something needs to be guarded, something needs to be watched, something needs to be kept. Genesis chapter 6 is the first mention of the word heart. And it's not a really good thing. Genesis chapter 6 verse 5. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. This is only a quarter of the way through man's history, and look how bad man has gotten already. That's where the heart brings us. That's the best man can do. That's what they come up with when their heart is just left to themselves. Evil continually. Look at verse 6. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. It grieved God at his heart that he made man on the earth. That's pretty sad because of our hearts. Because of our hearts. And what's wild? It looks like God is actually surprised at man's heart. See that? It says, and it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart when he saw all these things. When he seen that only evil was coming from man's heart, I think that it actually looks like it surprised God. And we know that God has foreknowledge. We know that he's omniscient. He knows everything from the end to the beginning. Yes, but it almost looks like man's heart, as wicked as it was, actually surprised him. And you know what happens? You know where this story starts. This is the beginning of when God floods the earth. But Noah finds grace in the eyes of the Lord. Only eight, right? Only eight are in that ark saved with the animals, okay? So look, if we could, and we look back at these times and say, man, what was man doing that they were so, rotten? They had to be pretty bad then for God to flood the earth. You know what? It's the same right now. It's the same right now. If any of us were honest, I have to be honest because I'm the one up here speaking, of course, okay? If I had to be honest with myself, the things that come out of my heart and the things that go into my mind from my heart, if all of us went around the room and admitted, we would be ashamed. There's no doubt about it. All of us have to be honest. The things, the malice, the hate, just the things that come out of our heart naturally, we can't go back and kind of look back and say, man, those are some pretty wicked people. Isn't it the same as the days of Noah, right? The same as the coming of the Son of Man shall be? Right? And I know the context, we're not talking about rapture so much, but we're talking about last days, we're talking about end times, We look around now, this is kind of, the same way as the world is. Evil continually, their hearts, and you can tell, because the fruit of it is the world we're living in now. This is the best that man can do, the best that the heart can come up with. And that's why it needs to be guarded and kept and watched. And you can't trust yourself. You can't trust, that. We'll look into this a little bit later, but we can't even trust ourselves to watch our own heart. We can't even trust ourselves to watch our own heart. And we're going to get into that a little bit later. Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9 says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Desperately wicked, who can know it? The only one who knows your heart is the Lord. Because the heart can deceive us. We don't even know it half the time. But the Lord knows it. Desperately wicked, who can know it? And the Lord is the only one who knows it. And that's why David said in Psalm 139, he said, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Search me and know my heart. That's a good prayer David had. Search me and know my heart, because there's some things I'm going to miss. There's some things that my heart's going to deceive me to think I'm a better person than I am. And that's why I got to ask God, search me and know me, and know my thoughts and know my heart. And see if there be any wicked way in me. And anytime you pray that, there usually is. There's always something to be repented of. And God cleans us, and that's a blessing. Now go to Genesis. You probably turned to those verses, I'm sorry. But go to Genesis chapter 8. A couple of chapters over. If you stayed in Genesis. Genesis chapter 8. This is after the flood now. Noah comes out of the ark. The land is dry. Genesis chapter 8, verse 21. Look at verse 20. And Noah built an altar unto the Lord, and took of every clean beast and of every clean fowl, and offered burnt offerings on the altar. And the Lord smelled a sweet savor. And the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground anymore for man's sake. That's a blessing. Because he would have done it how many times up until now? Neither, for the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I again smite any more every living thing as I have done. So that's a blessing that he's not going to do that. But if now God realizes, he says, not that he didn't realize it before, but he says, you know what, from a youth, there's foolishness there. From a youth, the heart is evil. Continually, imagination of man's heart is evil from its youth. You know, there's a verse in Proverbs that says, foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. Foolishness is bound. It's actually bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of reproof, right, drives it far from him. That's the only thing that gets it out. That's the only thing that'll get it out. The heart can't be left to itself. You know, there's nothing, and there can't be any confidence put in it. We try to put confidence on our heart, it's always going to let us down. Look at Proverbs chapter 28. We'll get into some good news in a little while. I know this is like really, that's it. I'm going to go to Thanksgiving after this. Proverbs chapter 28. Proverbs chapter 28. I know this is all basic stuff, but we need to be reminded of it. I need to be reminded how evil my heart gets. Proverbs chapter 28 and verse 26. He that trusteth in his own heart is a fool, but whoso walketh wisely, he shall be delivered. See that? He that trusteth in his own heart is a fool. That's so opposite from, right, Disney movies. That's so opposite from, you know, chick flicks and all these. It's so opposite from that. Well, follow your heart. No, that's dangerous. You know, follow your heart, Cinderella. No way. No way. That's crazy. If Cinderella followed her, I don't care. If I was Cinderella, you really follow your heart, the stepmother and the girls would be, they'd be dead, okay? That's what your heart's going to do. You can't trust in your heart. You trust in your heart, you're a fool. That means, trust means to put confidence in. To put confidence in your heart, that's foolish. You know, yourself, your thoughts, your own mind, your way, that's foolish. A heart tells a religious man, a religious man's heart tells him that if his good outweighs his bad, and he says enough prayers, and he eats this, doesn't eat this on this day, you know, observes this, goes to church this many times a year, that eventually when he meets God, right, God's going to outweigh the good and the bad, and he's going to figure out if he's making it to heaven or not. That's what a religious man's heart tells him, deceived, right? A Muslim's heart will tell him that if I, you know, can go take my own life with as many people around me as I can, I'm going to have whatever their heaven is, right? That's what their heart tells them. Even Christians. Our hearts will tell us and deceive us and say, hey, we're better than the person next to us because of look who they are and look who I am. That's what our hearts will do. Our hearts will deceive us. I think we're better. Our hearts will convince us that God's pleased with us because we read the Proverbs of the day. Our heart just deceives us to no end. That's why it always needs to be guarded and it needs to be searched by God Himself. It needs to be guarded, needs to be watched, needs to be searched. Man's ways, all the ways of man are right in their own eyes, but the Lord pondereth the hearts. They're right in their own eyes, but the Lord pondereth the heart. You can't trust your own heart. Don't trust your heart, and also you can't take any credit from it. Don't trust your heart, but also can't take any credit from it. Yeah.
What was the song where David
made his heart change? Oh, Psalm 139. And, 23
and 24.
Very good, thank you. 23 and 24. Right near the end. Yeah. Can't have confidence in your heart, and at the same time, not only should you not trust your heart, but don't take any credit from it. So it's not enough just not to, you know, have confidence in it, but also we can take credit from our heart. Because our heart will tell us we're doing okay. Our heart will tell us we're good because of certain things that we do. And it has nothing to do with what we do. Right? It has to do with what God does and what He does through us. That's where our service comes in, and we'll talk about that in a little while too. But our heart will deceive us. The Bible says, be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. Okay? Man's heart has him convinced that whatever they do, whatever we do, there's no judgment at the end. And I'm talking kind of like it for unsaved. Right? The average person out there, their heart will convince them and deceive them that no matter what they do in this life, there'll be no judgment at the end. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Psalm chapter 14, verse 1 says, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. And that's the ultimate deception. Imagine your heart can convince you that your Creator doesn't even exist. Your own heart deceives you, right? Deceives an atheist, whatever you want to call them, deceives them to actually think that their own Creator doesn't exist, the one who created them and who they are. That's the ultimate deception right there. And once there's no God, there's no more accountability. That's how far man's heart gets them. No God, no accountability. I was reading this book. It's really for youth group, youth kind of stuff, but there was a good thing in it. I just wanted to read it real quick. This guy says that in the past we lived in an either-or society. All of our choices were simple. Either you were married or you weren't. Most were. You drove either a Chevy or a Ford. You're either male or female, okay? Because there's kids in here. You either kept yourself pure or you were married, right? Okay, to that, I'm just paraphrasing. Because there was a clear cultural consensus on most moral choices. Even the structures of society supported the right choice. But now we live in the multi-option era. Now there are so many choices that the issue of right and wrong has become irrelevant. There are no longer any moral choices. Now there are only personal choices. What makes something right today is the fact that you choose to do it. Adolescents who in the time past could cruise through the teenage years making only a few moral decisions are now immersed in a bewildering sea of choices, forced to make decisions daily and left alone to suffer the consequences. But that's true. What makes sense, we need to keep our youth in prayer and each other in prayer. What makes something right today is the fact that you choose to do it. That's where that thing about no God, that's where the fool has said in his heart, there's no God. And without God, there's no accountability. And that's what it's come to right now. Whatever is good in our own eyes, that's what we do. That's what the world's come to right now. But let's look at now a different aspect of this. Let's go to Romans chapter 10. I've depressed you enough. Romans chapter 10.
Before?
Yes. Yes, absolutely. It's come to the point, as soon as you get God out of the equation, then there's no accountability. Once there's no accountability or any thought of any kind of future judgment, then why can't I just do what I want to do? Mm-hmm. Everything's right. No morals, no rules, you see? Okay. Romans chapter 10. Now let's look at something good, because this is where it turns around. Romans chapter 10. Verse 9, familiar verse, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. See now? So now look at that. Now when it comes to salvation, it has to do with the heart. The heart is the one that believes unto righteousness, right? The heart is the one that has to believe. And you know what that shows? That just shows the power of God and how much of a miracle it is for somebody to get saved. Because having a heart like that, to the Spirit of God coming in and actually getting a hold of a heart that wicked to acknowledge their need for a Savior, that's a blessing. And that's what happened to us. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. All things. A new life, a new destination, a new position, right? Even a new heart, a new man. Now, once we're saved, doesn't automatically mean that we get this brand new heart and it can't, you know, it's not going to be like what we just spoke about, you know, just a few minutes ago. No, we're still stuck with this flesh. We're still stuck with this old heart, right? We're still stuck with, at any time, us not guarding it, not keeping it, not watching it, and go back right back to where it was. Good thing God keeps us. Good thing it's His salvation that keeps us. You know, it's not ours. If it was our salvation, it'd be long gone. Every day we'd have to get saved over again. Every minute we'd have to get saved over again. But thank God for His mercy. Thank God that He takes care of it. So the Spirit of God lives inside of us now. And what does He do? The Spirit of God is a teacher. He's a comforter. Also, He's a reprover. He convicts us of sin. He convicts us now. Now we know when He wants to conform us to the image of His Son. Make us more like Jesus Christ. Keep thy heart with all diligence. That's why. Keep thy heart with all diligence. As saved especially. Being saved doesn't make us just immune to the things of this world. Not at all. Doesn't make us immune to Paul says, be not conformed to this world. But being conformed to this world is natural. We're in the world. It's so easy to be conformed to this world. But he says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Renewing of your mind. Transformation is something that doesn't come naturally. You know, Satan is transformed into an angel of light. He's not an angel of light, but he's transformed. Something supernatural. Something that we can't do on our own. Just like guarding our heart. Something we can't do on our own. There's ways we are going to do it. We're going to look at that in a little bit. But I want to look at just the physical heart real quick. We're not going to get into this too much. But just the physical heart. Okay? Because God uses the word heart. And like we said before, he's not talking about just that muscle, right? The beating thing inside of us. But there's no mistake, he uses the word heart. So it has to be some kind of connection. Okay? And the heart, just got a basic definition, obviously. I'm not a doctor by any means. Okay? The 3 years I spent in the fourth grade really ruined any chances of practicing medicine. And it's funny that they're still practicing after this long. But anyway, physical heart, obviously a muscular organ responsible for pumping blood throughout the body. Okay? Listen to this. By rhythmic contractions. How do you like that? Rhythmic contractions, like that. Okay? Rhythmic contraction, right? Boom, boom, boom. Exactly. Okay? So that's responsible for that. But the life of the flesh is in the blood. That's what the Bible tells us. The life of the flesh is in the blood. The heart is just responsible for pumping that blood throughout the body. You know, which brought up an interesting point. Your heart is actually spiritually dead, okay? Your heart is spiritually dead without the blood of Jesus Christ giving you life. That's a blessing. Without the blood of Jesus Christ coming in and, right, giving you life, your heart was worthless, you see? But anyway, I want to talk to you a little bit about heart disease, okay? Because if we don't guard our heart, we don't watch our heart, heart disease is going to be the problem, okay? As of 2007, the leading cause of death in the United States is heart disease, as of 2007. Every 34 seconds, I read today, every 34 seconds, somebody dies from heart disease, okay? And among Christians as a whole, and I'm going to be preaching to the choir tonight, okay? I'm just doing a Bible study. Among Christians, spiritual heart disease is one of the main causes of us falling away, of us trying to quit, of us trying to go back to this world, okay? And just like a regular heart, in order to try to keep it healthy, there's two things that have to happen, diet and exercise, right? Diet and exercise. I read that. That's what they say, okay? To ensure proper heart health. And it has to be a well-balanced diet and exercise. And if you hung out with me for 7 days, okay, and watched everything I do, definitely do the opposite, okay, if you want a healthy heart, okay? Now, if that's one way of doing it, but you can just look on the computer and or get a plan instead of following me around. But in any case, diet and exercise, okay? The spiritual health of our heart depends on spiritual food and exercise. And we'll call it our service, our Christian service. Spiritual food and exercise, okay? What our diet consists of, and that's what I want to look at. What our diet should consist of and what the advantages of it are, okay, for our heart. We're supposed to guard it, we're supposed to watch it, okay? But there's certain things we're supposed to do so that we don't get a heart disease, so we don't have problems, okay? And here's the solutions right here. We're going to look at five verses. We're going to turn to them. You know, we'll start with the easiest one so we can go right in a row. Turn to Psalms chapter 37. Since this is a Bible study, let me stop talking and we'll read. Psalm 37. Each one of these verses talks about our diet, what our diet should consist of, and also talks about the advantages of it too. Just a blessing. There's probably more of these, you know, like I said, 833 times the heart's mentioned. If you want to go through the concordance, you'll definitely find more of these. I'm just giving you a few tonight. Psalm chapter 37, verse 31. The law of his God is in his heart. The law of his God is in his heart. None of his steps shall slide. That's one thing. The law of his God. The word of God. Okay? That's the biggest thing on the diet right there. That's the biggest thing on the menu for a healthy heart is the Word of God. And it says in the second part, none of his steps shall slide. See? Our Christian walk is affected by that. Christian walk. You know, if you have a weak heart in general, like a physical heart, you know, isn't it hard to move around? Isn't it hard to, like, get active and to be able to move as much as a younger person or someone else would at maybe full health? Same spiritually. Your walk depends on what you eat. Your heart depends on the law of His God, on the Word of God. Okay? We're not going to spend much time in each one. Let's go to Psalm chapter 40. I was going to write these down, but we're looking at them, so I guess it's slow enough. Psalm chapter 40, verse 8. And you notice the same thing about all these, because there's no big secret here. Psalm chapter 40, verse 8. I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. Thy law is within my heart. See, it's consistent. It's the Word of God. It's the Word of God. That's the best diet information, that's the best diet schedule we can get for our heart, is the Word of God. That's the only thing. The Word of God. And what does it help us with here? To do thy will, O my God. I delight to do thy will. We stay out of the Word of God long enough, we're not going to care even what the will of God is. What the will of God is for our life, His general will, we won't want any concern about that. And that's exactly when we let our guard down on our heart. And that's exactly when we get a spiritual heart attack, right? So to speak. Thy law is within my heart. It's the Word of God. Look at Psalm chapter 119, verse 70. Psalm 119. It can't be verse 70. Verse 11. It's all familiar stuff, just basic, simple stuff. Psalm 119, verse 11. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. Right? Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. There's the diet again. The word of God, and what does it help us with? It helps us with sin. If anybody's like me, I struggle with sin. I struggle with sin. That's the biggest attack on my heart is my sin. Right? My heart helps me sin, actually. But thy word have I hid in my heart. A healthy diet, a balanced diet, the word of God, by far. Look at same chapter, Psalm 119. Look at verse 70. Isn't it wild how practical the Bible is? Here's your cholesterol. Verse 70. Their heart is as fat as grease, but I delight in thy law. Okay? Spiritual health, the Word of God. It tells you stay away from that cholesterol. Huh? Their heart is as fat as grease, but I delight in thy law. One last one. Jeremiah chapter 15. Jeremiah chapter 15, look at verse 16. Great verse. Thy words were found, and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart. For I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. Okay? Joy and rejoicing of mine heart. If we don't eat the right food, our heart's going to suffer. If we don't eat the right spiritual food, our heart is going to suffer. You know, we feed on... You know, I'm preaching myself. We feed so much on the things of this world. The things of this world, we let that all get in there. We let that get in there, then we wonder why our walk is affected. We wonder why we can't get victory over the sin. We wonder why we have no delight in doing the will of God. Right? We wonder why there's no joy and rejoicing in our heart. None of those things. Not getting the right diet. The Word of God. Spiritual heart disease, if we get rid of the Word of God out of our diet. One thing we all need more of. You can't read it enough, you know. You can't get enough of it in us, right? It's like vegetables or fruits, right? You can eat as much as you want, it's okay. Lettuce, mushrooms, you know, you're asking the wrong person. But spiritual-wise, it's the Word of God for a healthy heart. Now let's look at, I just want to look at real quick just our service. Our service to God, okay? And the Spirit of God is going to be our personal trainer, okay? The Spirit of God is our personal trainer, because like I said, we can't do it on our own, okay? And there's nothing we can do on our own to guard our own heart. There's nothing we can do in our own willpower to try to make our heart be pure and clean. No, it's something that God's got to search out. It's something that God's got to help us with. And it's got to be a steady diet of the Word of God, right? Okay, now let's just look at our service, kind of like our exercise, before I write all this down. 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 7. Let's look at this verse, just to start. 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 7. There's a familiar verse too. Samuel 16, verse 7. But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance, or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. You see, God's interested in the heart. Man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. Now, I like what Dave Spurgeon said the last time he was here, which is a blessing. A lot of times we take that verse and say, and we'll use that to justify our outward actions, you know, and be like, well, God looks at my heart. Yeah, but at the same time, man looks at the outside, so we've got to maintain a testimony, obviously. But when it comes to what God's really looking at, okay, especially when it comes to our service, Lord sees not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. That's why we got to be careful when we put men on pedestals. That's why we be careful when we want to put men down. None of us see their heart. Obviously, someone's life reflects their faithfulness, yes, and we're supposed to hold and respect those, right, the elders or whatever. But in any case, to put them on a pedestal or to put them lower, we don't see their heart. We don't know why they're doing what they're doing. You know, we easily do that sometimes, and it's dangerous. But when it comes to our service, the Lord, He wants our whole heart. When it comes to our service, the things that we do for Him, right? We want to do a work for God? No, we want to do a work of God. We want Him to be involved. But for us to do any kind of service for Him, He wants our whole heart. Okay? And He definitely deserves it. He deserves our whole heart in anything that we do for Him, right? I mean, He died for us, He saved us, He's given us a new heart, new life. We could go on forever about the great things God has done for us. He deserves that. He deserves for us to give Him our whole heart when it comes to His service. I mean, doesn't someone that loves you deserve for them to have your whole heart? Isn't that true? I mean, if we're married, anybody's married in here, right? Our husband, our wife, someone actually decides to spend the rest of her life with me. She deserves to have my whole heart. Okay? She deserves to have my whole heart. And more so God. Of all He's done for us, He deserves it. And in our service to Him, He doesn't accept any less. If we think we're going to be rewarded for stuff, He's looking at our heart and He's not going to accept anything less than everything, than our whole heart involved in it. How many times do we do a ministry or do something in the name of me, and we do it and our whole heart's not in it? Oh, this is annoying. What am I doing? You know, I don't feel like doing it today. Man, you just kind of just like crossed it out on the, you know, for any kind of reward or anything. You know, it's tough. It's tough to get our whole heart into it. But our service to Him, He doesn't accept any less. He wants our whole heart involved in it. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 6. Let's look at this real quick. Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 6. Look, now with eye service, as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. Doing the will of God from the heart. A lot of times our service is so that other men can see us. You know, it's easy to fall into that. It's easy to fall into, well, this person's watching me, so I better go. I better do this because we want to please men. You know, and that's easy for us to do. Paul talks in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 12. He says, he's talking about people that glory in appearance, but not in heart. They do it for the sake of others. But we got to be careful, and that's another thing we got to guard our heart from, is that when we do a service for the Lord, when we do something for Him, it has to be for Him, not for anybody else. Maybe to benefit others, to encourage others, is gonna. When I see stuff happen, when I hear testimonies from Stefano or Jason on the job, that encourages me. It gets a little fire under me. So when I go to work, you know, I try to do something better. Ask the Lord for the same open doors. It's a blessing. But we don't do those things just to impress each other, right? God wants us to do things for Him with our whole heart. And He deserves our whole heart. So I just want to look at something real quick. We're not going to spend much time on this because I don't want to preach to the choir tonight, but I just looked up these things about the heart. Here's some more things about the heart. I'm going to write them down, not because I want to show you how smart I am, but because I can't pronounce them, okay? Let me just write this, okay? Something about the heart. I know I'm blocking somebody, but that's okay. Okay. Yeah, I can't even do that. Yes. You got it. I'm glad you know. Cardiac arrhythmia. Okay? Now look this up. This is our exercise now. Okay? When it comes to our service for the Lord, and when it comes to heart, what this is actually, I'm going to read here, it's a term for abnormal electrical activity in the heart. Okay? Obviously, your heart's supposed to beat 60 to 80 seconds per minute. I mean, that's the average. Okay? That's the normal. But this is a term for, like, abnormal, right? Abnormal electrical activity in the heart. Okay? And I'm going to write two more things down. Okay? And I just got a blessing from this. And like I said, I'm not going to spend much time on it. But sometimes I like to look at this stuff just to be in awe that actually people know this stuff off the top of their heads, okay? Very good. That's what I'm saying, yeah. Very good. Okay, if you know more than me about this, don't mention anything, okay? How do you say that again?
Bradycardia.
Right?
Tachycardia.
Very good, okay? Very good. Right, very good, okay. I'm not going to get that much into it, but these are two abnormal heartbeats, okay? Two abnormal heartbeats. Now watch, this one right here is the slow. It's a slow rhythm. I'm not even going to put down, I'm just going to put slow and fast. Okay? All these big words, confusing. A slow heartbeat and a fast heartbeat. Too slow, too fast. Okay, that's what I'm just going to point them out as now. Too slow and too fast. I'm not even going to say that. Okay? Too fast, too slow. Okay? When it comes to our Christian service, okay? When it comes to our Christian service, this is the trouble that we can have. Okay? And I'm not going to spend much time on this. I'm not going to preach to you. Because I don't think that, you know, this may not even be for you guys. Okay? But just for me, it is. Big time. Okay? A slow heartbeat, a fast heartbeat. Okay? You're supposed to be somewhere between 60 and 80. Slow, they're down near 40 to 50, and high is anything over 100 or something. Okay? But when God, let's start with the slow. When God, and we'll kind of just, you could kind of apply these to our Christian service. I don't want to confuse you. We'll kind of apply this to our Christian service. Okay? God wants our whole heart. He wants our heart to be involved in His service. Okay? But one thing, some of us, okay, including me, same thing, is our rhythm of our heart is slow. Okay? When God needs something done, and when He wants something done, sometimes we're not so fast to move. Okay? Sometimes when He wants, you know, He wants to get something done, wants to use us, we're pretty slow to respond. Okay? That's these guys over here. Slow to respond. A slow heartbeat. Okay, and not just physical. I'm not just saying physical things. Okay, although, again, I'm preaching in the choir. I'm going to be embarrassing, but when I see Brother Steve Upton, okay, carrying two tables at a time, and I see four guys in the corner over here discussing the deep things of God, you know what I mean? Then it's time. My heart wants to throw a table at those guys. But the Bible tells me be an example and pick up a table with them. And I'm not talking about anybody in here. I'm just joking. But I'm just saying, has to be with doing, right, a slow rhythm. Not quick to jump, not quick to help in anything. In a ministry that you can help in our giving, in anything like that, we're slow to jump at the opportunity. Go to Psalm chapter 119, verse 32. Psalm chapter 119, verse 32. I'm sorry if I'm losing you. Am I making it clear, kind of?
Yes,
Psalm 119. Well, it's clear for you because you know all this stuff. But Psalm 119. Because we realize the goal is, in our Christian service, we want to be in the middle here. Right? Our Christian service, we want to be right in the middle. Middle of God's will. Okay? Some of us are too slow. Too slow to respond. Psalm 119, verse 32. This should be one of our prayers. I will run the way of thy commandments when thou shalt enlarge my heart. Run the way of thy commandments when thou shalt enlarge my heart. You know what, these people, we got to pray for an enlarged heart. An enlarged heart. Something that has more endurance. Something that wants to jump at the opportunity. They can't give it up so quick. Right? They can't give up so quick. They step it up a notch. Okay? I was looking at, we're going to go from this to discovery now. I was looking at cheetahs, the animal, the cheetah. Okay? I was looking up some things about the cheetah. Okay? They run up to 70, 75 miles per hour. They go from 0 to 64 miles an hour in 3 seconds. Isn't cars some of those? My camera goes, does that in about 8 minutes. Okay? 3 seconds, 0 to 64 miles an hour. Okay? But you know what? When it chases an animal, it has to catch them within a 2-mile range, because after 2 miles, it has to stop or it'll die. Because his heart, a cheetah's heart, is not proportioned right for his body. It's too small. It's too small, therefore it has no endurance whatsoever. No endurance to continue. No one needs an enlarged heart. An enlarged heart to continue. To continue. He's good. You know, some of us are good for short bursts of energy, short bursts of ministry. We get on fire after a conference, and then we're out of commission for like a month. You know? Out of commission for a month. Slow. We need to pray for an enlarged heart. An enlarged heart. Let's look at the next thing. Like I said, I don't want to spend too much time on this. The next thing, obviously, if this is slow, this one is fast. Okay? Heart beating too fast. Okay? Heart beating too fast. And remember, when we get before God at the judgment seat of Christ, it's not a matter of quantity, right? It's a matter of quality. Quality. Not so much quantity, quality. God will use some of us to do more things than others, but as long as you finished your course, it makes no difference. You know? We'll have to keep our eyes on each other of where we are in our course, in our race. Doesn't make a difference. Not quantity, but quality. You know, it's hard for some of us to sit still. You know? Some of us want to be super Christians. Want to do ministry, 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 ministry. You know what I mean? And I'm myself, an example, when I was young especially, it was like, man, like a zeal, no knowledge whatsoever. But a zeal, and go and go and go and go and burn yourself out. And you know what, it's good sometimes to have an increased heart rate, of course. I mean, if right now all of our hearts are calling, well, mine's racing because I'm up here, but your hearts are calling for the most part, hopefully. But it's good to go out, run a mile around the block, right? Because then that increased heart rate is going to burn off some calories, burn off whatever. That's good. But there has to be a coming time that you have to stop and take a rest. But what happens a lot of times in ministry, some of us want to go full steam ahead, and we're getting ready to get burned out. Psalm chapter 27. Psalm chapter 27. And this is what a lot of us need to do, and this is what I need to do a lot. Psalm chapter 27, verse 14. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and He shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. That's hard to do, especially as New Yorkers. It's hard to wait on the Lord, but when you wait on Him, He shall strengthen thine heart. You need that time of rest. You need that time, and you know, instead of going full steam ahead, to just sit back. Enjoy your family. Enjoy your wife, your husband. Enjoy, you know, your children. Enjoy the things that God has done for you. You know, sometimes we get so full steam ahead, we forget what we're even doing. We forget why we're doing it. And I've been at that point myself too. I've been both sides of this too much. Forget what you're doing. It's time to rest sometimes and enjoy the things God has done for you. A slow rhythm and a fast rhythm. And what God wants is He wants us right in between here. Sometimes we're asking God for His direction in our life because we're already 10 miles in front of Him. And other times we're asking His direction because we're already 10 miles behind Him. God wants us to be right there with Him. Not so fast, you know, not so slow. There's no one to impress, right? And you know what happens with these two? These two look at each other and accuse the other and gossip about the other all the time. The ones who are doing fast don't think they're doing enough. They think they're too much a holy rose and they're trying to convict their lives and they're trying to do this and that. I'm telling you, that's the way it is. They stay right in between. Right in between. Not so much. Wait, I say, on the Lord, and at the same time, Lord, enlarge my heart for those times when we got to push. We got to stay right in between. And do you know where both these can lead to? Both of these things can lead to cardiac arrest eventually. Cardiac arrest. You know, beep, cardiac arrest. You know what I'm talking about. Both of these things can lead to spiritual cardiac arrest. Heart disease, spiritual cardiac arrest. That's what these two can lead to. But right in the center, with a diet of God's Word, okay, doing the service that He wants you to do, okay, not 10 hours in the gym, right, but maybe going there once in a while, okay, but just what exactly He wants you to do. No competition with another, okay? If I see someone that has bigger muscles than me, I'm not going to go to the gym for another 8 hours just working on my, you know, no competition, right? No bickering back and forth, because the ones on this side and the ones on this side, it's easy. It's easy to accuse the others, because we're convicted both by our situations. The ones right in the middle, just doing the will of God, what He wants us to do. One last verse that sums it all up. Psalm chapter 73. Psalm chapter 73. You know what the hardest part is? Consistency. That's what the hardest thing is, consistency. To be able to get up to start the day right? To be able to guard your heart throughout the day, right? Consistency is the hardest thing, and that's what that middle line is. Consistency. You get on fire for a week, and then the next week, man, you don't want anything to do with it. Get up one day, you read chapters of the Bible, God blesses you, He speaks to you, praise the Lord, what a day, and the next day you get up, you're late for work, you don't want no time with it. That's it. God wants consistency, a balanced diet. Psalm chapter 73, maybe I'll get there. 73, here it sums up, verse 26. My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. That's a blessing. My heart, our flesh and our heart's going to fail us. But praise God, right? God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. So, just got to keep those things in mind. I hope it's a blessing. This really helped me, big time. But it has nothing to do with competition. It has to do with following our own course. Paul said, I finished my course. That's it. We all have one course to follow. It has nothing to do with a contest with anybody else. It doesn't have to be doing keeping up with anyone else. Knowing what God wants to do in His perfect will, okay? To have a healthy heart, right? Spiritually healthy heart, a spiritual diet, and spiritual exercise in His service. So I appreciate your attention tonight, and I hope everyone has a happy Thanksgiving, okay? And Thank you. So let's just have a word of prayer. Father, thank you so much for the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you so much, Lord, for your mercy, Lord. Thank you so much, Lord, for that despite ourselves, Father, you still use us, Lord. You entrust us with this gospel, Father, Lord. And thank you, Lord, for being so good, Lord, so kind, Father. Thank you, Lord, for just the forgiveness of sins, Lord.